This audio is presented by Hacker Noon, where anyone can learn anything about any technology. VC Math, by Homan Yuen. As a former entrepreneur, I often thought about the how and why of venture capitalists. I also wondered if their job was really that hard or if they were just riding the money train. Now that I've gone to the dark side and become a VC myself, I, hopefully, understand this much better. Understanding the math of being a VC will help explain some of the questions entrepreneurs may have, including: greater than is the job that hard? Don't they just golf, cycle, or kite surf all day? Greater than why do they care so much about ownership percentages and check sizes? Are they greater than just scheming to throw me out? Greater than why are they so obsessed with unicorns? Shouldn't they care if my company greater than turns $10 million into $100 million, that's 10x. I'm a scientist, engineer by training, so I always like to look at things analytically. The limited partners, LPs, of venture funds typically have the following minimum expectations of their venture asset class investments at the completion of a fund: typically 10 years, seed, early stage, 3 to 4x returns, 12-15% annualized. Early, mid stage, 3x returns, 10-12% annualized. Late stage, 2x returns, 6-8% annualized. As a general comparison, LPs can obtain 1.5x returns after 10 years on many different types of asset classes, including private equity, public equities, and real estate. LPs look to venture capital to provide premium returns due to the increased risk and illiquidity of the asset class. For riskier and longer-term investments like seed funds, LPs expect an even higher premium. Otherwise, there is no financial reason to give money to venture firms. Historically, many venture funds do fail to hit these targets, and a large proportion also fail to return 1.5x or even 1.0x. Let's see how this plays out with a hypothetical seed, early-stage firm called Doe Ventures. They just raised a third fund, Doe Ventures 3 LP, with $100 million in total cash. For LPs at the end of a standard 10-year fund, Doe Ventures needs to return $300 to $400M in cash. That doesn't sound horrible, does it? Let's look at how returns are generated. There is a concept in venture called the power law, where most of the fund's returns are generated by very few, sometimes one, investments. It's all about investing in the home run winners. There are very few big winners. Doe Ventures typically targets a 10% ownership stake in the companies it invests. On average, they write checks of $1-1.5M for companies with pre-money valuations of $8 to $12M. Let's assume across the portfolio, Doe Ventures owns 10% equity stakes for all companies. Fast forward 5 to 10 years, the portfolio matures and the successful companies exit at IPO or via M&A. What does the total enterprise exit value of the portfolio need to be to hit the target return metric of $300 to $400M? The answer is $3 to $4B. 10% of that value is $300 to $400M. Returning the power law, statistically, 10% of the portfolio will be drivers of fund return. For a typical portfolio of 20 to 30 companies per fund, 2 to 3 companies will drive all the gains. For Doe Ventures' portfolio, those 2 to 3 companies need to be worth $1 to $2B each, returning $100 to $200M to the fund per investment. Data compiled by Correlation Ventures showing the historical distribution of returns. 10% of financings provide over 5x return, while 65% are partial or complete write-offs. This is why you hear investors asking questions relating to market size, TAM, future and potential revenue, comparables, etc. They are trying to understand if your company has the potential to be a company that will be valued at $1 billion or higher, i.e. a unicorn. It is important that the VC invest in companies that have the potential to return the fund, because they need every investment to have the possibility to be a big winner. A fund needs a few big winners to hit the return metrics that the LPs demand of the VCs. It's nothing personal, it's just math. The strategy and math change for a $10 million or $1 billion fund, but the concepts are still the same. Relatedly, you may also hear some VCs say a $100 million exit is a failure. While this wording is harsh and partially disconnected from reality, an exit of this value will not do much to move the needle on providing fund returns. If Doe Ventures had a company exit for $100 million, with 10% ownership at exit, they obtain $10 million in returns. However, if the goal is to return $300 to $400M, $10 million is only 2 to 3% towards that goal. Let's examine another scenario where Doe Ventures invests in 20 companies, 10 exit for $100 million, 10 exit for $50 million. This would seem like a rousing success since all 20 companies exited for decent amounts. However, in doing the math, assuming 10% ownership, Doe Ventures only nets $150 million in total, providing for a subpar 1.5x fund return. On the flip side, let's say of those 20 companies, 19 go bankrupt but one company exits at $5 billion. Assuming 10% ownership, the fund returns $500 million for a 5x fund return, placing it in the upper decile. This is why the power law in venture is important. In reading this, you can probably infer some of the key metrics which can have an effect on venture return math. Fund size: larger funds can have a harder time providing high multiple returns because of the exit valuations needed. A $1 billion fund needs $2 to $3 billion in returns with exit values of $10 to $30 billion. Stage: early stage companies have lower valuations that can enable higher ownership percentages. Ownership percentage: lower ownership percentages proportionally increase the exit valuations needed to hit return metrics. A 2% ownership at exit nets you 5x lower returns than 10% ownership. Check sizes: small checks result in low ownership percentages. Follow-on funding, dilution: a fund's ownership percentage will decrease in each round and be diluted unless pro rata investments occur. Market size, TAM, revenue: VCs want to see potential revenues higher than $100 to $300 million annually and TAMs at least in the $10 billions in order to have confidence the company can reach a $1 billion plus valuation at exit. Boiling that all down, this is why VCs ask the questions they do. It all comes down to determining these parameters for the math equation. In reality, the numbers are not always in the VC's favor. Picking winners: grabbing 2 to 3 unicorns in a portfolio is no small feat, as many funds do not even have one at the end of a fund cycle. For Doe Ventures, a 10% hit rate would be considered a success. There are other funds who take a spray and pray approach to portfolio construction, but typically those funds cannot place high enough ownership percentages to take advantage of the winner. Exit enterprise value: for Doe Ventures, $3 to $4 billion in total value at exit may not seem too bad considering $50 billion is returned in VC annually on average. However, most of this money is locked up in a few big winners. Think about how many companies have exited for $1 billion plus each year in the last 10 years. Ownership: many funds can start out at 10 to 20% ownership in a company, but if it raises large sums of capital to scale the business, that requires deep pockets to maintain that ownership. With the exception of the flagship funds like NEA or Sequoia, that can be a hard task due to fund size constraints. Net versus gross returns: VCs charge fees like any other investor for operations. Those fees reduce the cash returned. The actual return net of fees must be even higher than the target metric to compensate. So a 3x return may actually need to be a 4x return on invested capital. This is why it's so important for VCs to pick entrepreneurs, technologies, products, and markets that have the potential to scale up to be a $1 billion plus company. It is also important for founders to understand what VC investors are thinking as they evaluate an opportunity. That is just how the math pans out. Of course, there are many companies that will be smashing successes, but just won't provide venture returns. Founders should not take it personally. I've turned down some companies I knew would be great outcomes for the founders, but it just didn't make the math work for our fund. Finding other investors who are not beholden to LPs, say angels or family offices or even corporate investors, are a great way to build those businesses up. This was a very simplified rundown of how the math works, and there are plenty of nuances, adjustments, and variables that come into play. Perhaps another article another day on that. Thank you for listening to this HackerNoon story, read by Artificial Intelligence. Visit HackerNoon.com to read, write, learn, and publish.